This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
A new book tells the story of a woman from Wisconsin who fought the rise of Hitler as part of the German resistance. All the Frequent Troubles of Our Days follows Mildred Harnack from her early life in Milwaukee to her decision to move with her German-born husband to Berlin in 1929 to study literature. The two ended up being part of a secret network that tried to stop the Nazis' rise to power. They were both imprisoned and then executed in 1943. But her great-great-niece, Rebecca Donner, heard family stories and knew from a young age that she would write a book about Mildred.
Really, my first acquaintance with her was when I was about nine, and I was visiting my great-grandmother. And there was a growth chart on the kitchen wall, and my great-grandmother was measuring my height. She put the ruler on my head and made a mark on the wall. And then I looked at the other marks in the wall, and one of them had a little scribble next to it. And I said, "Who's that?" And she said, "That's Mildred." But it was very clear she didn't want to say anything more. And so I became instantly curious, and the mystery of Mildred began for me right then, I think.
So she wasn't talked about in your family then?
No, not until I was a teenager. And then my grandmother started telling me stories. And my grandmother was Mildred's niece.
What made you decide to actually take this project on?
I had known for a very long time that I would write this book. And in fact, when my grandmother told me stories about Mildred and then also showed me her letters, she did say to me, looking at me directly in my eye, "One day you must write about Mildred." So she knew that I wanted to be a writer, that I planned to be a writer, and she knew that I had great ambitions to write great books, and I think that she felt that this was worthy of a book. And so I noted that at the time, and then it took me a while to feel ready to take this on. And then eventually I did. I went to the Gedenkstätte Deutsche Widerstand, which is the German Resistance Memorial Center in Berlin, and that's really after that was the second moment when I thought, all right, I'm getting ready to write this book. The first moment was began really with my grandmother giving me these letters and telling me stories about Mildred.
You wrote it in a series of small scenes. So what made you decide to do that?
Early on, when I was trying to again determine what my narrative approach would be, I thought I wanted to preserve the chronology of the narrative so that it would be easy to follow and so that you could also see the rise of fascism as it happened. You know, Germany went from a parliamentary democracy to a fascist dictatorship in the blink of an eye after Hitler became chancellor. And I don't think we really appreciate how swiftly this happened. And you know, Mildred bore witness to this.
I think it's very powerful on that level that things are sort of normal and then this happens and it's another step and then things seem sort of normal and then this happens and then just that creeping sense of everything being okay until it wasn't and then it really wasn't.
Yes.
So that was really something you were trying to express?
Yes. And I got a sense from reading Mildred's letters too that everything was okay until it wasn't. She was as early as 1930 writing to her mother saying how appalled she was by the Nazi Party and how worried she was about what was going on in Germany. But she still had a sense of hope that this is the kind of thing that could be fought. And then you start to see gradually, it still happened gradually, that optimism and that resolute sense that, you know, that the Nazi Party will be defeated, start seeing that ebbing. And certainly she kept fighting, so that it didn't stop her. But I think it was something that started to dawn on her over the course of that decade, as evidenced by her letters. It was very clear that she was hiding a lot, and she was profoundly misunderstood by family members who saw that the old Millie was no longer there, you know, and that the woman who had replaced her, it was a there was something hardened about her. That's a quote from somebody. And that she seemed very nervous. And when anybody questioned her about what was going on in Germany, she said, "We don't talk about that." She couldn't risk saying anything. And she was convinced at that point that she was under surveillance too. So her brother actually thought that she had lost her mind. And ironically, a few of her college friends thought that she had, quote, gone Nazi. because she was so stern and because she seemed so severe. So little did they know.